Chapter 5 of the book of Leviticus today. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. God is speaking. He says, and if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. The Bible says if a soul sins, and soul refers to the person because a person is in essence a soul which lives in a body. And so verse 1 is a call to honesty in general, but more specifically here in, at least in verse 1, in an official setting such as a courtroom. If you know something, then come forward as a witness, whether it be in favor of the defense or the prosecution. Because to withhold information that affects other people's lives, that affects justice, is to sin against God. So this is a call to be a good, honest citizen. Verse 2. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast or a carcass of unclean cattle or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. So the fact that he didn't know didn't reduce the fact that he was still unclean, spiritually speaking, which means unfit for worship of the Lord, for fellowship with the Lord or fellowship with God's people. Verse 3, or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be that a man shall be defiled with, and it be hidden from him, when he knows of it, then he shall be guilty. Now he was still unclean before he even knew about it, because it's just a fact that it was wrong what he did, and it made him unfit for fellowship with God. But he didn't really experience a guilt until he became aware of it. Verse 4. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, if it be hidden from him, when he knows of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord for his sin, which he has sinned. A female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. Notice how repentance and the offering for atonement are both needed. No offering would be accepted by God if there wasn't repentance, and no repentance would justify a sinner without the sacrifice of atonement, which is true today as well. Without receiving the offering of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the offering that he made on the cross on behalf of your sin, without receiving him, you can repent all you want. It's not going to save you. Verse 7. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass, which he has committed, two turtle doves or two young pigeons to the Lord, one for a sin offering and the other for a burned offering. And he shall bring them to the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first and wring off its head from its neck, but shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle of the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, And the rest of the blood shall be for a meal offering. Actually, I skipped a page. Sorry about that. Why is it that when I want to turn a page, more often than not, they stick together? Let me read verse 9 again, now that we have all probably lost our train of thought. And he shall sprinkle of the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering, according to the manner, and the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin which he has sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. But if he be not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, suppose he's really poor, then he that sinned shall bring for his offering the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering. He shall put no oil upon it, neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering. Then shall he bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar, according to the offerings made by fire to the Lord. It is a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him, as touching his sin that he has sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him, and the remnant shall be the priest's as a meat offering. The cost of the sin offering could actually go lower than any other offering. And God is teaching us that poverty cannot keep one from being forgiven and made right with him. No one will be able to say, I didn't have enough money to make it to heaven. If you couldn't afford a lamb for a trespass offering, then you could bring a pair of birds. If you couldn't afford birds, then you could bring some fine flour. God made it as easy as possible to be forgiven. And he still does today. Nothing has changed. Everyone has what it takes to say, Jesus, save my soul from hell, because you don't even have to say it out loud. If you have a mind that can think and a will, you can say that, either out loud or just under your breath. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Save me from hell, as the thief on the cross said and received his pardon. 15. If a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass to the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with your estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. So, someone who committed a sin pertaining in some way to the holy things of the Lord, perhaps the work of the Lord, his word, the sanctuary, or similar things, he had to bring an offering, a trespass offering, as we have just learned, plus he had to add a fifth part of the value of that offering in money, and the money was to be given to the officiating priest. See, anything that has to do with the word of God today is a holy calling, and it must not be taken lightly. Which is why to treat holy things in a profane way for the sake of selfish gain or self-promotion is to commit a serious sin in the eyes of God. Verse 16, and he shall make amends for the harm that he has done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it to the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. And so the 20% fine, in addition to the offering, points to the fact that God received back more than what he lost. Because normally, it would just be the offering. And of course, the same principle is true regarding the cross. God has gained more through the redemption purchased by his Son than he ever lost when man fell into sin in the first place. It was all part of his plan. He didn't cause man to sin, but he used it and worked out for the glory of God. He has more people worshiping him because they want to, because they love him, because they appreciate him, because he snatched them out of hell. He has more people excited about him, fervent about him, than he ever could have received through his original creation of the world, including man. So God came out on top. Satan sinned. He tempted man to sin. Man of his own volition continues to sin. But in the end, God will come out on top. Always does. Verse 17, and if a soul sin and commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he knew it not, yet is he guilty, and he shall bear his iniquity. Any sin committed in ignorance has the same negative effect on the Christian's soul and faith as does a sin committed knowingly. And therefore it must be confessed immediately upon recognizing it. 18. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, with your estimation for a trespass offering to the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he erred and knew it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord. And so we see that God continually repeats that these offerings are for those who sin in ignorance, which means that ignorance is no excuse. Just because one is sincere in how they behave, that does not mean that they are without guilt before God. It does not mean that that God will excuse them from their wrong behavior, because they are still accountable for it before God. And that's what these offerings teach, among many other things.